He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. I'm sitting here with Joel. We had a big show at the Majestic Theater last night in Kankakee, Illinois. Joel, I will admit that it was fun. I will also admit, man, I can see why David Letterman named your hometown the worst city in America. I feel like a dick saying that after those people were so nice to us last night, but I do not need to come back to Kankakee, and there is no other way for me to say this and be honest at the same time. I can be nice or I can be honest, but I can't do them both at the same time.
My name is Paul, and that's between y'all.
Yeah, man. I mean, what, did you have fun though?
It was a great show.
Good seeing everybody.
It was a great show.
You had some females in the audience. What's the deal with that? The Godfather building up a little stable?
Same stable I've always had.
All right.
Got to keep your hands on it.
You got any thoughts on it? You want to say anything about Kankakee?
Man, it was great. It was great to see my coaches. It was great to put on that event. Majestic did great. Vinny and everybody that helped me. It was a great event. It was a great event. Richard.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Richard, we are in Chicago. It's been a whirlwind week. We are getting ready. Chael's getting ready to call the Bellator show tomorrow.
And yeah.
The reason I wanted to have you on is, you know, it was great meeting you in Vegas last month. Didn't know anything about you. And, you know, you really handled that event that we did majestically, like the Majestic Theater.
Now,
then the next day, because there was a UFC event going on the next day, I've heard your voice in the media for years now, and I didn't know that was you. And I wanted to tell you, you ask the best questions in all of mixed martial arts out of anybody. When did you start? When did you start becoming a fan or getting involved in mixed martial arts?
Well, first of all, thank you. That is some very high praise, and I'm flattered. So thank you very much for saying that. I started covering MMA, specifically UFC, about 10 years ago. I was doing a talk radio show on a Dallas sports station. I don't like sports except for combat sports, which, as Chael knows, only leaves me martial arts and politics to enjoy. So I would cover boxing. I would look for any opportunity to talk about boxing. So back then, HBO would fly me out to cover big fights. They'd put you up and all this kind of stuff. The UFC actually hit us up, and this goes back 10 years. This is back, you know, when they were a little hungrier for press coverage than they are these days. But they hit us up, my show up, and said, hey, would you come out and check this thing out? And we did. The first fight I ever covered was the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz rematch, and I went all in. I was totally hooked from there. In pretty short order, started focusing pretty exclusively on just covering that one sport, and then, you know, along the way started training in jiu-jitsu, and now it's a lifestyle for me.
Now, Richard, I've had the unique opportunity to basically watch this sport grow from the back of an old car dealership. And
yeah.
In 2000, 2001, to be a reporter, do you know what you needed? To be a MMA reporter, you needed a couple things. You needed a microphone and a website and the willingness to do it. The sport starts expanding and growing over the years, and several years later, I find myself with a press pass. You know, I just tried to get a press pass. I got a press pass. I go to the UFC event, and I'm sitting there at a press conference, and two things happen. A, nobody asks a question, or B, somebody asks a question that all you have to do is a little research to know that guy has answered that question 15 to 20 times. So
yeah.
Am I right to say, if you are in the press and you go to a UFC press conference, you should have several questions to ask, and they should all be original. Is that, am I wrong? Am I putting too much pressure on these guys?
Well, that's my approach. And what I try to do is I don't ever ask a question that doesn't have more than one possible answer. That's just kind of my rule of thumb. Because if I ask the question to myself in my head, and there's only one obvious answer, like, hey, Chael, it must have felt good to go out there and get a win tonight. Yeah, it did. Otherwise, I would have lost. That would have sucked. There's only one answer to that question. So I'm not asking that one. So honestly, yeah, I mean, that's just a rule that I operate by. And, you know, I think it served me pretty well, I guess.
Hey, Richard, first off, I apologize for the buffoon down here. He brings you on and calls you Richard. There was no correct introduction. The co-host of Phone Booth Fighting teamed up with Frank Mir, first and last name, which is Richard Hunter, our friend, our colleague, and our partner. And secondly, let me tell you something based on what you just said about originality. And this is a story that a lot of people don't know. There's a guy named Craig Carton. Does that name happen to ring a bell to you?
No.
All right. You're going to love this story. Craig Carton went on to be the lead host, anchor, whatever you call the spot, of MMA Live. In fact, that's not right. What was that show called? It was filmed out of the TRL studio. It was live every Thursday at 11 p.m. on Spike. Nate Quarry, Luke Thomas, Strzok was down there for a while.
I know that show.
MMA, yeah, MMA Uncensored? MMA Live. I'm close.
I do remember the show, though. I do remember the show.
At any rate, very hot show, and Craig was paid $20,000 a week to host this show. Now, pretty cool. That's a cool part, but let me tell you the story. You're going to appreciate this if you stay with me. Craig one day was down at Spike, and this is when the UFC was still on Spike. Craig had never seen MMA before, had no idea what it's about. He's a sports guy. He's a great voice. He's a good-looking guy. He's all these different things where you can see where he'd host a show, but he doesn't know a damn thing about MMA. Whoever the MMA guy was down at Spike did not show up, and they grabbed Craig Carlton. I said his name wrong. They grab Craig and they tell him, we have a live shot with Dana White, UFC president, and we need you to do it. Craig doesn't know which way is up with MMA. So he sits down to do the interview, and they throw to Dana pops up, and Craig says, hey, Dana, you're looking kind of big. How much are you benching these days? Totally random, off-the-wall question that has nothing to do with anything. Dana does the interview, finishes, and then Dana goes crazy. He tells his PR team, I love that guy, and that's the only guy I want to work with because he asked me questions that nobody else would. Well, what Dana didn't know is the guy asked him a question that nobody else would because the guy had no idea what else to ask him.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was there is so much to be said for being original. And I agree with Joel that you are the guy that asked the question that it's finally like, thank you. Thank you for finally not asking a guy, so how was training camp? Thank you for finally asking a question that people really want to know. And I thought that Craig Carlton story might inspire you, that it does, you know, being original goes a long way. It's a great way to stand out.
Now,
sure. Well, no, it's true. I really and I appreciate you saying that as well. You know, the thing is that had I not gotten into, you know, my whole life has been a series of misguided careers, quite honestly. They have always had something to do with the world of entertainment. Had I been smarter fiscally coming out of college, I would have pursued a law degree because my only extracurricular activity in high school was debate. So I really enjoyed debate. Well, that has served me better. I would say I learned more in that than I did any kind of, you know, training I picked up along the way to any kind of media. Because in debate, what you do, if you are on a debate team, is in any debate tournament, you are arguing both sides of an issue back and forth several times throughout the day if you're lucky enough to advance in the tournament, and you have to argue each side just as passionately so that people, if you're good at it, people can't tell what you actually believe because you're so passionate about the pro or the con that you're arguing.
Right.
So when I interview people, I try to think like that, right? So, like, I'll try to sort of punch holes in my own questions or my own theories before I ever bring them to air, so that hopefully by the time I'm interviewing somebody, I've kind of already anticipated one of several directions their answer might go.
You know, Richard, again, all I am is a fan. I don't try to act like I'm anything else, but I know as much about this sport as anybody else that is in it. One of the things that drives me crazy is everybody reports on the exact same thing, including us. You know, we're off for ratings. We talk about, you know, we do our own thing. We talk about different things. But news happens in this sport. Nobody goes out and breaks the news. What I want to say is, with all of these different events that are taking place, Bellator's going on tonight. There's a UFC next week. There's 100 shows between the two big organizations. All those fighters out there, and we don't hear about them until they're on top of the podium. Chael Sonnen, for instance, was charismatic when he was fighting at the dog park, and nobody knew about him. You get a guy like you know, there's a guy out there named Mike Perry. And yep. he's fighting a friend of mine who is Jake Ellenberger, but Mike Perry is a good story. I've done some research on the guy, and if he makes it and becomes a star like I think he will, then everybody's going to know about him. Well, we should know about him now, and there's 100 Mike Perrys out there right now.
Interesting you bring up his name, because I'll tell you a quick story about Mike Perry. He makes his UFC debut, what, about 6 months ago, something like that, right? It was a short-notice fight, as I recall, and I was at a UFC media day, and, you know, you've been in a million of these, Chael, where all the fighters, you know, a dozen or so, sit around in a circle around a large banquet room, and we media folks go around to each fighter and interview them. So Mike Perry's sitting there. He's sitting right next to Cowboy Cerrone. There's a huge swarm of media around Cowboy Cerrone, as there always is. And not one single solitary soul has even bothered to, you know, say hello at this point to Mike Perry. And he's sitting there. And he's like, it's to the point, it's awkward. Like, he's on his phone texting or looking up, so I don't know what he's doing, but it's, you know, it's a little conspicuous. So I go up to him, ask him if he had a minute. We start talking, and I'm telling you, this guy, he was ready for that moment. Like, he had practiced this interview in the mirror 100 times, and he just instantly turned it on. But all he had to do was be prompted. So I knew, for example, that a number of his fights, I want to say all of his fights, had ended like in first-round knockout. I know he was undefeated at that time. And just to prompt, just to know just enough about a guy like that, who's low down on the undercard or on Fight Pass prelims, whatever it is, to, you know, ignite that fire underneath them. Now, I can only do part of that work for them. I mean, they have to take it somewhere from there. But I'll do it. You know, I'll strike the match like that for them. I'll let them know, hey, I bothered to learn a thing or two about you, so let me tee you up with this. Now you go. And, boy, he didn't look back. And I told him after that interview was done, after I turned the recorder off, I said, you know what, if you do that every time, people are going to know who you are in pretty short order. So hopefully he's still doing that.
You know, about 4 or 5 months ago, Rose Namajunas. There you go.
Naka Pajamas.
Yeah. And Pat Barry, they were in studio, and they were on a nationwide tour, kind of a vision quest. This was 6 months ago. Now she's coming back. She's got a big fight coming up. And I'm thinking, why didn't somebody get a hold of those people and ask them about that trip? It's stuff like that that drives me crazy, because I'm a mark for this sport. I watch every press conference I can. I watch every pay-per-view. And for the MMA media to lay a dud every single show. You should be graded on your questions. If you ask sucky questions at a UFC or a Bellator press conference, you shouldn't get a press conference. You shouldn't get a press credential again. And
let me say one thing, though, in defense of those guys, if I could, because I think one thing that comes into play is a lot of the guys are writers by trade, right? They're not broadcasters. In my big mouth, that's probably serves me well in those situations, is because I'm used to public speaking. So to, you know, to somebody has a mic in their hand, I'm trying to figure out how to get a hold of it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out how to wrestle it out away from them. So you give me the mic, that's actually where I'm comfortable. You know, a lot of those guys, because they're print writers or electronic media, I guess we would say nowadays, you know, bloggers or what have you, they're typing. I mean, that's typically their medium. Not all of them. And you're right, that press conference is such a great opportunity because that's your time to really go one-on-one, at least for a minute, with those fighters. And I'll just say, I mean, that may be something that maybe I brought in ahead of time that helped me out with that. I don't know.
Hey, Richard, speaking of, I've always wanted to ask you this question. Why do you always have such a good credential? Why are you always in the front row? Do they base that on ratings? Do they base that on the fact that they like you? Do you just show up before everybody else? How come you always have the best seat in the house?
Well, so it's probably a little of all of the above. I will tell you this. The UFC has always been so nice to me, but I want to say really more like appreciative or respectful. They have, and I know we've just recently undergone new ownership over there, but you know, so many of the folks in the PR department have been around for so long and they remember you. Everybody knows you on a first name basis and all that. And quite honestly, I think they just appreciate the effort. You know, they know what they want to do is, you know, the people that they put up close, they want to know are the hardest working people. And to their credit, they have not always just looked at, well, who's on the big network? You know, who's in the biggest market? That sort of thing. I mean, those things are important, and they certainly do have to take those into consideration. But I have always felt like they have noticed and appreciated the fact that, because you're right, I show up, I'm there for the first prelim fight. The other thing is, and this has been mentioned to me before from them, is that I will spread my questions around. So whoever's up there, I got questions for everybody, and that's another key thing. I mean, if you want to know like what goes into this, I try to leave, you know, at least half of questions that I had in my head on the cutting room floor because we didn't have time to get to them. So I kind of want to have a good question or two for everybody on the dais so that if it comes around my turn and the guy sitting down on the far right has not been asked a question yet, I'll jump in with something that I have for him. I'll prioritize him because he hadn't cracked his mic yet. And I know they notice that, too, because, you know, a lot of times, especially if somebody who's covering covers all sports, you know, they may have more of just kind of a cursory knowledge of the main event, co-main event, the bigger stars or whatever. And I try to pride myself on being able to go deep into that card and specializing in that. I think they appreciate that as well. I'll tell you another little trick. If you want to watch something that I do, and I've never revealed this publicly.
Breaking news.
I will give this to you guys exclusively, and you'll notice it now every time when you watch me in a press conference. I always intentionally try to go third. And I'll tell you why that is. If it's a post-fight press conference, and you know this, Chael, from main eventing many a pay-per-view, the guys who are in the main event, they're the last to fight. They're the last to go through the post-fight medicals, whatever, all the paperwork, get checked out. And so what will happen a lot of times is the press conference will start and the main event fighters, especially if it's, you know, like a champion or something was involved in defending a title, they'll start that press conference without them. And I have calculated that most typically that third spot is when that champion or that main eventer will finally clear the medicals and come in with the belt. So a lot of times, even though I'm going third, I'm getting first crack at the fighter who was on the top of the marquee because he wasn't there for the first couple of reporters that asked questions.
Always strategic. I had not noticed that. Oh, Joel just jumped up. Joel, you got a final question? All right. Richard, everybody can check you out at Phone Booth Fighting or follow you directly on Twitter. And I can tell everybody it is him when you get a response. It's from Richard himself, at Richard Hunter. He teams up with Frank Mir, drops awesome knowledge and awesome shows. Richard, anything you want to plug before we go?
Just phoneboothfighting.com, two new episodes every week. Frank's like in Kazakhstan or something right now.
Beautiful this still, time of year.
Yeah, I know. I told him I'm nervous anytime he travels to a country with the word Stan at the end of it. That's always dicey. But we're not even letting that stop us from cranking out new episodes. We're doing it via Skype, and he's back in town next week. But I'll tell you guys this, and we'll have to visit after you're done with your taping today, because, you know, when you guys were here in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, we did our first live stage show together, Suspended, and I've got a promoter, I was telling Joel, who's contacted me about us doing a string of shows in Southern California, so I got to get with you guys on dates, because I know between the two of you, both of you have fights coming up, so I got to make sure we work around those schedules. But if you guys are game, we may be taking this thing back on the road and hitting the West Coast.
Awesome.
So let's do some live shows together.
Yeah, let's talk, man. We'll get those dates to everybody. I will be giving you a call. Thank you, Richard.
Good talking to you, boys.
You too. Take care. So you brought him on, and you didn't say his name of Richard. You just say, "Hey, Richard, are you there?"
All right, man. Listen, you're not a little hard on me, brother. You're a lot hard on me. Okay. Let's get back to you throwing all those marbles about Ariel and this, that, and the other. Listen, I'm not saying I'm a better or I'm more successful than Ariel. I know more about this damn sport than Ariel does.
Do you really think that, though?
Are you kidding me? I've fed your lips for 15 years.
So wait a second. When you say you know more about the sport, are you talking about like moves and positions, or you're saying
the sport that we report on, that they report on? Yes, I know more about all of them
than Ariel.
Yeah, of course. Of course. What don't I know? Hey, are you going to fight that guy because he said that? Yeah, I'm not a Jerry Springer, brother. I'm me. I'm a fan, but God damn it, I'm real. And don't you come on here every chance you get and everywhere we go to think the thing you need to do is throw sand in my face because you get a couple tweets out of your buffoon commentary. You've given me an opportunity and I've run with it, and I appreciate that. But once in a while, brother, it does get a little hard.
Why did you say nickel a week ago? What'd nickel mean?
I don't know.
Oh, and I'll tell you what else, Mr. Helwani. I forgot to mention this to you. Your Wes Sims fight, which was scheduled for May 13th, which you've been a diet on, training on, and I didn't hold this for the show. I actually just received, you're getting updated. I got a text message. You're getting updated in real time. Wes cannot come to Oregon on that date. He has travel obligations. So you can either fight Wes, it looks like July, or you can fight somebody else on May 13th. What do you want to do?
Well, I ain't got no quarrel with nobody else. So I'll wait for Wes.
All right, fine.
You know, and I'm glad I got more time.
Hey, and I wish I would have told you when we were in New York, when those Euros were calling your name, when those gyros were smelling so good at 2 in the morning.
I'm gonna stay strong right now. I'm rolling. I tell you.
All right. And here, let me just show you the text message. I don't want you to think that I held out on you to break this on the show or something. I just got this right here. So there you can see it.
Well, that makes me actually relieved a little bit. I mean, I'm not prepared, but I was going to do everything I could to get prepared as much as I could by then and make that walk. I'm a little excited about that because that kind of gives me.
Is it a relief? It's a bit of a relief, for to be honest, isn't it?
100%.
Yeah.
Because those are the 2 months that got taken away from me to begin with, so I want them back.
Do you remember when you were starting to boil a moment ago?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that was just a moment ago. You were getting mad. Now you have Euros on your mind. How's that?
No,
huh? What a difference a day makes. That's why you got to just hang in there and push through. See, sometimes good things happen, bad things happen. We record it all. Hey, let me tell you something in the world of speculate. Speculate on this for me. Ryan Bader announced, or it's been announced that he has signed with Bellator, multi-fight deal. Ryan Bader is on one hell of a win streak. That can't be denied. He was seemingly the number one contender, and stuff was brewing for him to fight DC at one point. I mean, he's the number one contender. You got to give that to him. Top contender. I'll remind you, he also has a win over Phil Davis, who's the sitting Bellator champion. When we have a big pay-per-view coming up, what would you do with Bader? Maybe the pay-per-view isn't even relevant, but what would you do with Bader? Because to argue that he could step right into a title shot versus Phil Davis is fair. We know he can because he already fought Phil. We know he could be argued for a number one contendership any which way because he's been on a hell of a win streak. He hasn't done it in Bellator. And my suspicion is because he hasn't proved it in Bellator, he probably just trying to read a promoter's mind won't get that shot. But you could argue him for that shot. right now, couldn't you? What would you do with him?
What would I do with him?
What would you do with him?
Now that I've had a limited amount of experience coming to the Bellator events, and I've said this before, it's a different crowd. It's a different crowd, and I believe that it isn't 100% the same UFC crowd. I'd run him out there a couple times, and I'd build it up. I mean, you've got a lot of daggers on that card as it is. That card is plenty big right now.
Pretend I didn't say pay-per-view. Pretend we threw the pay-per-view idea out then. I didn't need to say that to my question. My question is, though, still, what do you do with Ryan Bader? Because you got a hammer right there. And maybe he hasn't resonated with the crowd as big as, you know, some guys with the experience that he has. But the bottom line is that's a name, and that's a hammer. He's got to win over your current champion. What do you do with him? Because, Joel, don't forget the other side. I know in a perfect world, and you're saying what every promoter would say, which is, well, let's build him up a little bit. What's the big rush? Well, there is a rush because you and I have seen this as fans. When you got a top contender like Bader coming right over and you try to play that game, something happens, and then you lose that big fight that you thought you were outsmarting the system by building in the first place. You remember when Ryan Bader fought Tito. Tito sucks, and Tito caught him in a guillotine. I mean, but things like that happen, and so there's some risk involved. I'm just saying to play devil's advocate, there is some risk involved. So if you bring over a guy like Bader, what would you do? Not what should Coker do or what would Dana do. What would you do?
I would do what a promoter would do. I would run him out there, introduce him to the fan.
You'd build him.
I believe that he is one of the top or the top 205-pounder in both organizations, okay? I'd build them one time and introduce them and then build that fight. It is a risk. Now, here's something that you talked about with Conor and Floyd. You said, well, generally, when two guys say, yeah, we'll fight, they end up fighting. Well, both those guys have said, yeah, let's do it and let's dance at MSG, both of them. So it's a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I don't know what to do. There is no right answer because, you know, promoting is a gambler's game. This is a gambler's business. What can I do? And a promoter will always keep his eye on what if. What if this gets... You know, so many people had wondered why Vince... I was one of these people. If I'm Vince McMahon, why do I let Brock go back to the UFC? And it was Jonathan Coachman at ESPN who worked side-by-side with Vince for years. He explained this to me, but he explained it right. He said a promoter will always think of, but what if? What if Brock is to go to the UFC at UFC 200 with all these eyeballs and win, and then I get him back? I'm willing to bank as a gambler, and Vince and Coker and David, these are gamblers, man. This is a rough, hard, tough business that you got to have the stomach for. You do have the, well, what if? What if I run Bader out there a couple of times? What if he gets his name out there, gets some exposures, and I can, you know, maybe even get Phil another fight in between, build them both up, put them on the headline of a card down the road. What if? And that what if, that excitement of a possibility will get you to make the wrong decision plenty of times, and plenty of times it'll work out, but it'll get you to make the wrong decision at times too. So, there's a gamble there.
There's a huge gamble. For those guys with their style, I would make that gamble. I watched a 7-minute documentary. As a matter of fact, I played it at the Majestic last night, and you said, in the history of time, crawling on somebody's chest and hitting them with elbows and fists has always worked.
Yeah.
And that's what those guys do.
Yeah, you could break that sport down all you want, talk about how its evolution and how it's changed. One thing that hasn't, you get on top of a guy, you pin him down, and you start bludgeoning, you're going to get your hand raised. I'll tell you, when Bader and Phil fought the first time, I didn't argue with the decision. They gave it to Bader. That was the right decision. But it did surprise me. I thought Phil was going to beat him. I thought when I looked at them as athletes and who's better, and they're both great, I wouldn't discredit either one of them. But I did think that Phil had the edge. That outcome was a bit of a surprise for me. I can tell you as a fan, I'd like to see part two.
We will. We'll eventually see it. Your question was, what would I do if I would do that with him? I would run him out there a couple times. Now, we talked about...
A couple. You keep saying a couple, not just one. So you're not only gambling, you're willing to gamble and then let those chips double down?
Once or twice. Once. Either way. I'd run him out there once. I wouldn't run him straight in. Because here's your problem. And they've done that. It happened with Benson Henderson. Run him straight in the title shot. He loses the title shot. Now what do you do with Benson? That's, they're an equal gamble. You take a top star from another organization, you bring him in, you give him a title shot, he loses some steam.
You know, this just happened at Bellator. Not a lot was made of it. A guy that I really like to watch, that I argue, I would have argued him as the best striker in the sport. Now I think the scariest striker is Rumble Johnson. Do you remember this name, Sergei Kantarnaharov?
I do.
Yeah, and I'm saying the name right. It's a hard name, but I've got Kantarnaharov down as well as I've got Nurmagomedov down. I've got it down. But Sergei fought on a Bellator card, Mohegan Sun, his debut, and it was a chance to build him and build that division. He got starched. He ran right into a punch, and he got laid fast. I mean, I can't even remember, but it was like 30 seconds. He got starched fast. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, I mean, we can't do anything with that momentum. And now I see he's off, got like a fight lined up in Russia or something. You do get stuck in those spots, too. There's some gambles. And the overwhelming thing that we've learned, just if you're a fan, is there are no sure things out there. You can take a big-name guy against a no-name guy. When you put on those 4-ounce gloves and you walk a guy out and you build that pressure and all that stuff that goes into it that creates for a anticlimactic performance, there are no guarantees.
I will tell you this. What we talked about, Matt Hughes and Hoyce Gracie. I had a fan send me a couple names, and there was one I agree with, and I think it is brilliant. And the fight is in the UFC. The fight itself is in the UFC Hall of Fame. Let's run back Matt Hughes and Frank Trigg.
Really? See, I like that match too. Do you like that more than you like Hoyce?
Of course.
Really?
Of course.
Well, yeah. You mean of course. How come?
Well, kept Matt smothering him last time. He's going to smother him this time.
Didn't Matt smother Frank for the most part, or Frank had some high spots?
Oh, Frank almost had him out. Frank almost had him out. I would love to see that fight again.
I mean, I popped for that fight, too.
They didn't put the fight in the Hall of Fame because it was a snoozer.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, Frank Trigg is a referee now.
I did not know that.
Yes, he's an MMA referee. He's been doing it for a couple of years. He never talks about it because he doesn't want, you know, that's kind of what a ref's job is. He doesn't talk about it much. He just does the job. I was out at Bellator in San Jose. Well, the night Mitrione was supposed to fight Fedor. And I was doing some spot for Spike. So I was up in that, you know, what I call the crow's nest, but I was up a little bit where the set was. And they announced behind me, referee Frank Trigg. And I thought, well, that's interesting because there used to be a fighter named Frank Trigg. And I turned around and looked. I go, oh, my goodness, that's Frank Trigg. I didn't know he was reffing.
I will tell you this.
Damn good ref, too.
I will tell you this. He is on nonstop in Portland on a nutrition. He cuts a nutrition spot, and it plays on the radio station 15 times a day. I hope he gets paid every time it plays. I hope it wasn't a one and done because, man, do I hear that spot a bunch.
Really? I didn't know that. So Frank Trigg is now just a fan sent this to you, or there's an actual, like, yeah, Trigg might come out and
no,
do this?
No, nothing about that.
Just a fan just suggested it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I agreed 100%. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's run that one back. And as a marketing move, you're taking a fight from the UFC that they have in their Hall of Fame, and you're running it back in your promotion.
Yeah, I got no problem with anything you're saying. It's just if you're saying what a bigger fight is, and I don't know that you're not right. I mean, I guess the fans are going to let us know, but, man, that's still Hoyce Gracie. Yeah, it's just if you can run Hoyce out, right? I mean, is there anybody that can replace Hoyce? Is there any name where I could go, well, you could see this guy fight or you could see Hoyce? I mean, that's a big deal, particularly to an old-time fan like me. I'm an old-time fan, so maybe I'm lost in that.
There has to be 20 or 50 times more fans now than there were when Hoyce was the man.
All right, guys, I'll tell you what's going on next Thursday. Make sure you get that date. This date matters. The first golf major of 2017 is next Thursday, and to celebrate, DraftKings.com is hosting a free fantasy golf contest. $100,000 in total prizes is up for grabs. Whether you live and breathe golf or you're just looking to try a new fantasy sport, now that football's over, 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings is for you. And at fantasy golf at DraftKings, it's very easy to play. Just pick six golfers. Before the tournament tees off next Thursday, I got to keep reminding you of that. I don't want you guys to miss your opportunity. It kicks off next Thursday. All you're going to do after that is sit back, relax, and follow the action live. You're going to rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition, and you win. You can't get closer to the action than this. Millions of fantasy sports fans just like you have experienced the excitement of DraftKings. Now it's your turn. The tournament starts next Thursday, so get over to DraftKings.com. Do it right now. Get a free entry in the $100,000 golf contest by using the promo code CHAIL. That's promo code CHAIL to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes only at DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy sports. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the site for details. Go to DraftKings.com.
Hey, everyone, this is Sean Wheelock inviting you to check out our new MMA podcast, Sean Funky and the Baddest Man, right here on Podcast One. Every week, I'll be with welterweight titleist Ben Funky Askren and the baddest man on the planet, Joe Warren, to take you inside the sport of MMA. So join us every Wednesday for all new episodes of Sean Funky and the Baddest Man. Download and listen at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on iTunes.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
You know what I'm looking forward to getting back home? This has been a great week. It was fun in my hometown. The jiu-jitsu at Gracie Baja. I enjoyed that so much. And I tell you what, Coach Warren and Fabiano worked with me. Prior to last week, I knew zero about jiu-jitsu. And I wanted to know zero about jiu-jitsu. And I was so worried because I'm like, I have to get in a condition. I have to get to a weight that I'm comfortable with athletically so I can jump in this pond. And I went and did it, and they were so helpful. It was so much fun. Now, you know me. I have been burying jiu-jitsu for 15 years because I know nothing about it. I'm a wrestler. But I do get it. I mean, it was a different type of wrestling. It was just a different type of wrestling. And I want to make this point. I want to make this point because it came to me during the class. Is when I started wrestling, it was 4 or 5 months before I could even properly demonstrate a move. Coach Warren and Coach Fabiano and all those hammers in that room made it. I can't wait to get back and do it again. And when I get back there, you know, we go to sparring on Monday. Well, Ryan and Jake have both told me they will be at practice. Jake said he was going to tighten me up, and Ryan said he was going to beat the brakes off so I'll watch my P's and Q's. And I will tell you what, young man, don't worry about the mule, load the wagon.
I'm glad you had a good experience, and they do run a great practice down there at Gracie Baja. And you watch that gym, I mean, it's full of hammers from top to bottom, and you can't just name drop them all because some of these guys haven't been given their exposure yet, but they are as good as the guys who you could name drop. And, you know, Fabiano's going to run that room. He's going to run that entire room, and everybody's going to get their attention, and he runs it tight. But when you talk about Coach Warren, I will give you a word of advice. Show him respect. That is what makes him tick. If he has an athlete that's interested, he will take that extra time. You know, Chris Folsom and him have really locked on, but Chris Folsom's got really into leg locks, or Howie. And Coach Warren has so much experience, and he's put in so much time. But he has to know that you want to know what he knows, and then he will grab you and show you some tricks. And you know, when you have those guys, a Fabiano, a Warren, somebody like that that's been around, and you know what they had to go through to gain that knowledge, the tournaments they had to enter, the sacrifices they had to make, the airplanes they had to board, the seminars they had to sit through to gain that knowledge, and they're willing to just hand it to you. You don't have to get on any of those planes, sacrifice anything. You just have to show up and ask the question and let them know you care, let them know you really do want to know, and then they'll give you that information. It's very, very valuable, and it's very, very underrated. You know, coaches as a whole are. But what a coach had to go through in his life, the experiences that he had to have to learn the proper techniques and to refine them and you know, from the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and then he'll just hand you that information. The research that he had to do to find out that a technique works, it's really a big deal. It's really, it's undervalued.
Yeah, I will. You'll never see me disrespect a coach in any form, in any sport. We're from the same school on that. But I will tell you this, is I went in there, and I wasn't scared. I was just like, oh, man. It opened my eyes because of that. Because both of those, because two black belts, Fabiano and Coach Warren, took their time and gave it to me. Nobody. I'm nobody. I'm not going to win nothing. I'm not going to put no belt in there. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I'm just trying to get myself in a spot where I can compete at. And I know I'm in the right place, and I can't wait to get back.
Well, good. I'm glad that you feel you're in good hands. All right, listen. We had to get this in quickly. We got to get over to the arena. I have a rehearsal walk. You know what's interesting to me? I always have to do a rehearsal to be part of the booth for Spike, but I always get confused because it's live. The sport's live. And I'm always thinking, guys, I don't know what to rehearse. I don't know what these guys are going to do. I don't have a script to get down. If the guy goes out there and throws a punch and a kick, I got to speak to that. I don't know how to prepare for a live show if I wanted to. So a lot of my, I sit there and I put on a straight face and I take my notes, and a lot of it is just a bluff. I'm looking around going, what are we preparing for? It's live. This show is live. I don't know what in the hell's going to happen, but here's what I want from you, Joel. Speaking of, it's live. It's in real time. Mo or Rampage? And I know you said Mo all along, but you've seen the weigh-ins, you've seen the presser, you've seen these guys. Is that your final pick?
I have no idea what you just said. All I'm going to think about is the Giro or Euro. I'm going downstairs to get... Oh, Mo. I'm picking Mo.
You got Mo in this.
I got Mo.
Do you want to elaborate? Do you see this as a ground and pound? Do you see this as a decision? Do you have anything else you want to elaborate on? Ariel would have. Ariel would have elaborated.
Yeah, he would have elaborated. Like, did you guys get in a fight in the back? Did he steal your pony? He said he stole your pony. Your pony's not gone, is it? Come on, man. You want to keep running me back against the Jerry Springer of MMA?
Do you want to elaborate, though?
You can bite that bit if you want, but Daddy won't. He's going to win a decision. Rampage isn't going to break. He's going to soldier on. Paige might win the first round. Moe's going to win the next two, basically with his wrestling.
All right.
Stand up to his wrestling. He's going to take him down. He's going to stay on top of him.
You got 2-1, King Mo in a decision. Fine. Let's see how that all plays out. Hey, one thing I love about this, we don't got to sell anybody anything, man. It's live free. It's only on Spike TV. It's tonight, 9 o'clock in the East, 6 in the West. Joel, what is it? What? Please, what? Go ahead.
What are you talking about?
You stepped back, so I thought you were done, and then you leaned in all tight.
What would you like me to do?
And you got a little bit of a smile on your face.
Let's walk through this. It's been a long week, but let's go ahead. Let's go ahead, and where you would like me here.
But I feel like I was explaining this to the audience, and now you've interrupted. You stepped back like you were done.
Okay, here.
You then stepped in to the mic, put a little smile on your face, and looked at me as though you had something. So I threw to you... And now I'm asking you, what is it? What
okay,
is it you
we've
have?
We've been doing this for a while, and when I do this, I have something. When I do this, nothing. This, I have something. This, nothing.
You know this is essentially a radio. Nobody can see you.
You know why I've come up here, and it's for the baby.
Okay, you do the baby at the close of the show.
We're not at the close? You just said we got to get. You just told everybody. You just told 500,000 people we got to get.
All right. You want to know something? You want to know something? You have me on this one.
But your hair looks so cool like that. Somebody take a picture of this.
You have me on this one. I did do that. I did make it like, yeah. Ooh, that's a. Is this the first time?
It's the first time you've copped to it.
All right. I'm going to give a point for Joel. I would suspect you're still down in the hole, but point for Joel.
Yeah, I want to run this back real quick. So we got a little brouhaha a couple weeks ago, and Some of the fans had my side. Some had your side. It was a dick move for me to say what I said that you were 0-2. So that score is now...
Set this up. Pretend we have a brand new listener.
When we got in that fight, I said you were 0-2 against Silva, and that was a dick move, and I wish I wouldn't have said it. Okay? But that now puts the score 1,000 for Chael and 1 for Joel.
Well, you know, I am 0-2 against Silva. That is a true point. It's just whenever I try to speak on him, if it's not in the positive, then you bring it, well, you know, he beat you twice. Yeah, I understand
that. First time I've ever said that, and I wish I wouldn't have said it.
But I could still have another point that's a fair one to make. I was making a fair point when you were in here going, oh, man, I got to fight anybody. It's like, hey,
What I meant to say is he will fight. He has proven that at 41 years old. I should have...
Well, all you should have said is Anderson signed to fight Kelvin, and I'm excited to see the fight. That was probably how you should have said it.
I'm taking back the veiled apology.
Feel like that's what Ariel would have said.
You know, I may not be able to whip Wes Sims' ass, but I can whip Ariel's ass.
Are you positive about that?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little wiry. When did he have a speed advantage on you?
What do you want to do with this? You want to wind this up and we'll push it out to the baby?
Nope. I feel like I feel like I'm really close to you exploding, and if I can just make this a little bit longer, it's
going
to
come.
Do you
have any idea how fast I'm going to eat that Euro?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. You'll probably smash two of them. I imagine there'll be one for each hand. I'll probably have to give this the Euro guy 100 too, so you could just keep loading them up. What are you going to do to your Euro? Extra sauce, extra meat, anything?
No, just hand it to me and I'm good.
Tomato, onion.
You know, you do that gimmick like it wasn't your idea. It wasn't your idea to eat the bacon hot dogs. You gave the guy $100. We were working both cart people. They happened to be married. There was a good fun. You want to put that on me? That's fine. But you smashed one per one.
Can I give you one complaint on a Euro? Do you know what I do find weird? They don't put cheese on them. It's not even an option. You couldn't say, hey, throw some cheese on. They don't even have it back there. What kind of a hot meat sandwich is cheese at least not an option?
Whatever that white sauce is key. If it's thick, it's great. If it's thin, it sucks.
Everything's like that on a sauce. Absolutely. Fish and chips is a solid meal if your tartar sauce is good. You know, fish tacos is a solid meal, but they have to put the right sauce on there. You screw the sauce up, the whole thing's botched. Are you done, man? You stepped away and now you're back. What does the back mean?
All I want to do is eat a Euro. All I want to do is eat a Euro. I'm not going to beat up Ariel. He's rich and famous and cool. Good for him.
And possibly better at this than you are. Possibly? Is that
whatever
possible?
Whatever it is I do, I don't know what I do. I don't. The reason people like me is because I'm not trying to be anybody. What is it that I do? I'm me.
But if
I'm better at being me than he is at being him.
But if Errol was here and I said, Errol, what do you do? I think he'd have a specific answer. Isn't that a good thing?
I stir the pot.
But that's what you accused Ariel of doing. And
no,
why you
he
think
stirs,
you're better?
I don't stir the pot. He does.
You just said
I'm out on that.
Pot.
You're not going to flip me up. All I got is baby, and I'm not going to do baby. I'm going to do Jack Strong because Jack Strong's kicking ass, and you keep going Jack Strong.
Until next time, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
My name is Raven, professional wrestling superstar, world-class idiot, and raconteur extraordinaire. Join me for my new podcast, The Raven Effect. Every Monday here on the Jericho Network on Podcast One, we'll be covering current events and any and all topics that can be properly bantered. Download and listen to the show on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on iTunes. Quote The Raven, nevermore.